Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
I have something to tell you.
So welcome, Nelson and Tasman, to Evolving Health, only on Fresh FM. On my own this week, I've had guests come and join me, and we're now in the new year. It's the 8th of January. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a new year and lots of decadence, but not too much. Or if you've had too much decadence, perhaps come and see me and do some detoxing, which folds in quite nicely. I've been talking about preconception care for the past few weeks and had Ange Palmer join me to talk about preconception care and yoga. And this week I'm going to talk about understanding the factors associated with successful conception and pregnancy and list the common causes of infertility or fertility. So what we do know is that better evaluation gives better treatment outcomes, and I certainly see that in my own clinical practice. We run a raft of tests, including, you know, your hormonal HPA axis, which is your hypothalamus, pituitary and adrenal gland and gonads and ovaries, looking at how everything is actually working from the brain. Because hormones that stimulate egg and sperm development must be made in the brain and be released properly. And then those reproductive organs must be able to receive those signals that are coming from the brain properly as well. So the egg and sperm must be present in sufficient numbers, be chromosomally normal. And what we're seeing is women are increasing in age, and we're seeing more and more women in their late 30s, early to late 40s, going, oh my goodness, I forgot to have a baby. And it's because I think we need to maybe take more responsibility in educating women about how successful it is to actually fall pregnant later in life. We are seeing a lot of media now showing us that, you know, all the famous star people are carrying babies in their late 40s and 50s, but what's not being imparted is that those women likely have had donor eggs or have had surrogacy. So the egg and sperm must be able to develop to maturity, and the uterus, which is the endometrium, must be receptive to estrogen and progesterone. Now, we live in a very stressful world, and when we're stressed, our progesterone levels become depleted, and that's a commonality I certainly see in my clinical practice. Progesterone comes from the same pathway as your steroids, so when you're stressed, you need more cortisol in the body, so the body will rob the starting factor of that to produce cortisol to deal with the stress rather than dealing with progesterone, because now is not a really good time to conceive. So estrogen and progesterone are fundamental, and of course testosterone is fundamental for the man. So in order to conceive and have a baby, the woman must have sufficient surges of what we call luteinizing hormones. So we look at luteinizing hormone, we look at follicle stimulating hormone, which helps the follicle stimulate and mature, and then we look at progesterone and luteinizing hormone. And there's a whole other lot of bloods that we can look at as well if there are difficulties conceiving. Now, the journey sperm has to go through is phenomenal. And ultimately, out of millions of sperm, one sperm fertilizes the egg. And that sperm takes 75 to 90 days to develop. And so we need to be mindful for health, for sperm quality, at least 3 months before you're considering having a baby. Because what we know about sperm is that the sperm must be able to get through the cells that surround the egg. It must undergo chemical, biochemical reactions. And the sperm and egg must each contain only one copy of the needed 23 chromosome. So the sperm essentially is its DNA bullet. And something I'd like you to ponder is it the egg that picks the sperm, or is it the sperm that picks the egg? Now, there is an interesting question, isn't it? How do they know? How does that egg know? And how does that sperm know? But there's so many things that we know about conception and fertility, but there's so many things that are completely out of our control. But that's the chicken or the egg question, isn't it? So in order to conceive and have a baby, after, you know, you've got your primarily you've got, you know, between 1 and 12 and 14 days where the woman will ovulate, and then from days 14 to, can be up to day 32, 35 for some women, your progesterone levels start to rise and you don't fall pregnant and you have a period. But in the event that you get this, you know, sperm and egg coming together, of course it travels down the fallopian tubes and embeds itself as a blastocyte into the endometrial tissue, and voila, you have a baby, which is wonderful. And when you think about all the things that need to happen, it's just absolutely incredible, because that's a lot of things to happen. And the chances of actually falling pregnant, which will come too soon, are usually roughly around about 20% per month. So, you know, you've got a 20% chance of conceiving each month. And that changes due to genetic factors or lifestyle factors that I've talked about previously. Age of the woman, age of the man, any predisposing conditions. And so we think about all the things that have to happen, and then you can think, truly, a healthy child is a miracle. But the good news is that there are lots of miracles that actually happen. So, moving into the possibility of getting pregnant. So, as I said, from age 25, you have a 20% chance of falling pregnant in the first 3 months of trying. And that actually declines down to about 3% if you've been trying for 3 years. That you've got a 16% chance age 30, 12% chance at age 35, and then you have a 7% chance at age 40. And the longer you try, the less chance you have of falling pregnant. So by the time you're 40 and you've been trying for 3 years and there's no baby, your chances of falling pregnant naturally are 0.5%. So that's quite alarming, actually, when you think about it. And then when I think about my own situation, through natural conception, I'm 45 and my husband's 60, and we've just had our little dear Isabella, who's now 5 months old. So yeah, it's possible. And there goes the bit I was saying earlier, is that we don't actually know a lot about, we know a lot, but we don't know enough. So there's lots of things that are way out of our control. Most common causes of fertility, you know, there was a mindset that it was predominantly the woman that was to blame for infertility, but actually there are some studies showing that the male factor plays a significant role as well, up to 50%. So always real good to get a sample of your partner's sperm and have that analysed for numbers, morphology, to see, make sure that the heads are, you know, shaped well. You've got good, you know, good motility as well. So when you think about how sperm travel, they travel the equivalent of something like 10 miles in the space of seconds or something. Like, they're really, really fast. So you want really fast guys, and zinc's very good for that, as is arginine. We've also got conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome and endometriosis, which can cause infertility. Then we've got uterine, which is quite rare. That's about 1-2%. And that's in the presence of large fibroids where the fertilised egg can't implant into the uterus or the endometrial tissue. Then we have just straight ovarian dysfunction. And then we also have that diminished ovarian reserve, and that's all dependent on the maternal age of the mother. And one of the things that we can check for there is, it's a blood test called AMH, which is anti-Müllerian hormone, and that can give you an indication of what your egg reserves actually are. AMH is low, then there's no possibility, that's not true, but it does give an indication of what your egg reserves are. And then we have unexplained infertility. That can be women trying for years and years and years, then they suddenly let go of the stress of having a baby, their progesterone levels go up, and they conceive naturally. So we know that mind, body, spirit has a huge role to play in the conception of this miraculous child as well. So optimising fertility, moderate caffeine consumption. We know that one cup of coffee a day isn't going to be problematic. Avoiding alcohol, of course, preconception and during pregnancy, very important for both. Looking at preconception, though, alcohol can have a massive impact on the genetic makeup or the chromosomes that you're passing on to the child. And if you're going through IVF, both partners have to abstain from alcohol consumption. Avoid smoking and recreational drugs, of course. And, you know, even looking at things like vagina lubricants are discouraged because they can affect the whole microbiome of the vagina, which we know is very important for good health and keeping the environment at the pH that it should be. Optimal body weight is also really important because we know that if you're morbidly obese when you conceive a child, your child is more likely to have congenital heart defects. So these are all things that you should be looking at in terms of preconception care. Lots to think about there. And I'm going to leave you with that thought for the day. What chooses who? Does the egg pick the sperm or does the sperm pick the egg? Okay, so you've been listening to Fresh FM, Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. and replay on Sunday afternoons at 1:40.